You're listening to a download from the ABC. For more information, go to abc.net.au/Newcastle.
That's you, Brian. Hello.
Yes, it sure was. and a few extra girls.
Yes, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
When I have a look in our computer, the brain controls all the music, and you put in Brian.
Right.
To find one of your songs. Well, the list of stuff that comes
fantastic.
Up to choose from.
Well, I've been doing it for a while.
You have, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. With everybody.
With everybody and... with all this stuff, like this one here has gone in. Mark Tinson's usually one of my partners in crime.
Mm.
He seems to
one of Newcastle's more eminent musical troublemakers.
Yeah. Well, we kind of started a relationship probably 25 years ago in Sydney. And both of us started playing in a band in Newcastle while living in Sydney. And we'd just sit in the car and drive back and forward all the time. And he ended up one of my groomsmen at my wedding and produces everything I do. So it's a great relationship.
He must come in handy.
Yeah, I think we both come in handy for each other sometimes, you know.
Morning to know. Yeah. In that time, though, you in reading about some of the bands that you worked with, mm-hmm. that your band supported, there's like my teenage years spilled out in front of me.
Yeah. Probably Ice House.
They were still flowers.
When they were still flowers.
Yeah, yeah. With the plastic bunch of flowers in the vase on the end of Ivor Davies' old keyback. My Sex, Split Ends, The Church, See You Where It Goes.
And you know, it's funny, I was in, because the Retro Rockets go to New Zealand a few times every year to do shows, and I was at a show, I don't know, 2 years ago, and I was looking side stage, and I saw this guy, and I thought, God, I know him. And I couldn't place where I knew him from. Turned out it was Paul Dunningham, who was the drummer in My Sex.
Yeah.
And he was looking at me going, I know that guy. I know that guy. And so when we got to talk to each other, it was like
I know you. Yeah, where do I know you from?
The Ambassador Nightclub in Newcastle.
Oh, my goodness gracious me.
Yeah, because we used to do a lot of shows together there. You know, and it was just funny.
There once.
At the Ambassador?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Oh, long in the tooth. Oh, you're making me feel old, Brian.
I probably stayed there in a band room one night.
yeah, quite possibly. My guest this morning is Brian McVernon, who is one of our well-known local musicians. What is it about Newcastle that you mentioned with yourself and Mark Tinson,
mm-hmm.
based in Sydney, coming to work here, ultimately moving here?
Sure.
What is it about this city and music?
You know, it's funny, I was talking to Warren Smith the other day. I don't know if you know Warren. Everyone must know him.
Without running. And I was out getting pizzas last night and to take home for dinner, and as I walked past, you know, g'day, Vincenzo Martinelli.
Yeah.
So you can't move in this town without running into people you know.
But I was saying to Warren, I was doing the walking down the break wall the other day, and a guy pulled up on a push bike and wanted to know. He said, you know, do you live around here? I said, sure. He said, did you grow up here? I said, no, I grew up in Sydney. And he said, but you live here now. And I said, yeah. He said, look, I'm from Katoomba and I'm thinking about moving here. Do you recommend it? And I said, absolutely. I said, you know, this is one of the greatest places in the world. I said, you know, I've stood on the beach in Mexico and I've been to Brazil and places. I said, I come to Nobby's Beach and I know I'm home.
Mm.
I said, and that's kind of how Newcastle is to me anyway. And it's like one of the most brilliant places you can be. You know, and so it doesn't. And so to me, it doesn't matter where I go. I come home and I go to Nobby's Beach, and you know, and I just feel like this is as good as it gets.
Reset your compass.
Yeah, absolutely. It always comes back.
Mm. You born and raised in Sydney, though.
Yeah, I was born out near Liverpool.
Yeah,
and lived there till I was 18. Moved up here to do university. Spent 4 years. Went back to Sydney to get into the studio recording work and the music business, and that's when I started working with Tino, and then found myself back here, and somebody said to me around about the time that I moved back, they said, you know, you'll never leave once you've been living in Newcastle. Anyone who moves there never leaves because they just find that they can't.
It's no, I've been here 15 years now,
yeah.
So I've only got a few more years to go before I'm a local.
Okay.
But say it's home.
It was 1980 I moved up here the first time, and,
yeah.
You know, here we are, you know, 28 years later?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you. Now, you came up to go to the con when you said going to university.
Yeah.
You went to the conservatorium.
Sure.
And studied through there. How's the conservatorium changed over that time? Because we also seem to be producing... It's such an artistic city, isn't it? For what used to be known as the Stinky Steel City.
Yeah.
Hello, it's such an artistic city.
Sure. And look, I think what is happening at the conservatorium now is fantastic. It's always eluded me why it hasn't happened sooner. Even when I came here to university, I was doing the classical music course, but going, you know, I love contemporary music and I'm not finding a lot of it around me, you know, and now, and seeing so many students, because I'm over at Callaghan College teaching music to young people, and I've got a student who's gone to the Australian Institute of Music this year to study, and I've had other students go to Armidale or go to Sydney Conservatorium, trying to find contemporary music studies that suit what they do.
Hmm.
And I've always felt that a city this size, why are people leaving here to go and study music? You know, and it's mainly been that contemporary music focus. And I think that the TAFE kind of got on it first, and that the music industry courses over there are going fantastic.
Hmm.
And now,
well, talk about people coming home and the musicians who... teach those courses.
Oh, absolutely. Mm. You know, you couldn't get a better staff anywhere in the country and a more knowledgeable staff of music business than anywhere else in the country. And now the conservatorium are looking at advancing contemporary music studies and doing a lot more focused on new things.
You'll come back,
yeah.
Don't you? Daniel Johns is going to end up teaching in there in 20 years.
Probably. You know, well, I'm teaching music industry at the college where I'm at, and so we've got a program set up where I have students doing Year 12.
Hmm.
They go over to the Ties Hill campus, work with Tino and Grant Wormsley, and then they come over to my campus and they do stuff. They were there last week talking to the students about post-school opportunities that they can do at the TAFE.
How important is it for this area of education to come to our young budding, not just musicians, but music industry, because there's a whole bag of things that can go on there, which I guess is what NIDA has always done so well for actors, AFTERS has always done so well for television and radio, in that it's not just one thing. You're not just a singer-songwriter. You might be an absolute star producer.
Sure.
A director, arranger. So how important is it for us to give young people who have that love of music... That broader picture of what's available to them, but also how you do it, what you need to know about the business, because being artistic and creative and maybe talented,
sure,
that's one thing.
Yeah. Excuse me. Oh, look, it's so important, you know, and like last year when we were in New Zealand, Tino and I were with the band, we're doing a lot of stuff, and we were playing with a guy, Slim Jim Phantom from the Stray Cats, and we were telling him the courses that we're delivering here, and he said, "Man, I wish somebody
when I
had
was 16,
done that."
Yeah,
and we were the same. Like if somebody had told us when we were 16, learn the business, know this, know what you're going to sign, you know, we probably would have had more money than we do these days.
Mm.
But the good thing for the young people is if the knowledge is there now, and there are people who have gone through all of that, that are trying to help them so that the business...
Do it properly.
So the business works for them.
Yeah.
You know, they're
have
not,
a career.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's not all about sex and drugs and rock and roll.
No.
If you want to take it seriously and to have a career, you know,
sure,
they're the things that you have to...
And in a big sense, the business has changed a lot from the sex and drugs and rock and roll days. And,
yeah.
And it seems like it's... You know, it's cleaned up a lot in that area, you know, that people don't really want to deal with that
all
the time.
There have been very few survivors of it, for starters.
For sure,
yeah.
Sure.
What about technology? Because when you'd have started out, Brian, it would have been, you know, to try and independently release an EP, for example.
That didn't happen.
No, good grief.
It didn't happen.
The enormity of trying to do something and how much it would have cost you.
Oh,
whereas these days, you know, you can hire somebody like Tino to produce something for you. And technology enables you to run off a few thousand pretty cheaply.
Absolutely. Look,
are you green with envy at what young musicians have available to them?
I don't know that I'm green with envy. I'm encouraging them as much as I can. You know, I've got a student whose band just recorded an EP. It cost them $900. It sounds fantastic. It was done in a home studio. The technology is there. It's cheaper and more affordable now. So they've done this. They're manufactured in 500 copies in Sydney for $1,000 or $800. So for $1,700, they've got their first EP out and ready to play and sell it.
And of course, there is the, as well as the record companies, there is the, there is a lot more support behind. There is a whole independent artist association now, so there is, there are other avenues to get your music out.
Look, MySpace is an amazing thing for the independent music business.
Yeah.
You know, you just go, who's in Sweden that listens to something similar to mine, and go, listen to this, add them to your friends, and before you know it, you know?
The social networking thing, like Bob Corbett.
Yeah.
Sent me on my Facebook just a couple of weeks ago the little video that was knocked up for.
Yeah.
Did you get that too?
Yeah, for sure.
And so I've sent it on to, you know, friends of mine in the music industry saying, look.
Yeah.
Look at this.
Yeah.
This is the, you know, this is what we're doing here, and it is an interesting little world.
Sure. Well, look, you know, the Retro Rockets have sold, you know, quite substantially overseas, you know, and I've had emails come from people, I remember one about 8 months ago from Venezuela. And this girl sent me an email saying, you know, I stay up all night listening, looking for something like this, and so I want to buy a copy of your album. How do I get it?
Yeah.
You know, and you go, someone in Venezuela has just listened to, you know, Rockabilly Punks, one of the tracks that's listed on our site, and wants to buy the album. So we set it up, and she's now got our album in Venezuela.
That's great, isn't it?
Sold them in Finland, sold them in Germany, Japan.
Big in Finland.
Know. Yeah, and next year it looks like we're signing our first sort of independent release overseas in Japan, and it's still going independently. And so, you know, to me, that's a good way, the good indication of how the world's changing for musicians.
Getting right back to the start of the conversation, my guest is Brian McVernon here at 1233 ABC Newcastle. To bring all of that right back to the very start is, you don't really have to leave Newcastle to do it.
No.
You're going to where, Peru?
I'm going to Peru in a few weeks' time, yeah. It's part of a charity event with an organisation called Love, Hope, Strength.
Yep.
And basically it was a foundation set up by some musicians and music agents and put together to put charity events like musical concerts. Last year they went to Mount Everest and did a concert at base camp. And that's right. It's kind of crazy, especially most of the musicians seem to be like in their 40s doing these things.
Yeah.
But it's the money raised from that charity event has now put a cancer screening unit in Nepal. The Peru government found out about it and said, would the foundation give us a hand? And so they've opened up Machu Picchu for an acoustic concert in October. And through my work with Slim Jim last year, he got me involved in the foundation and said, you should be on board with this. And then I got an invitation to join the Peru Rocks team. And it was fantastic because it was also like I had to raise a minimum $6,500 donation on top of my flights and stuff to be able to go and be a part of it, as did everybody.
Everyone funds their own contribution.
Yeah. And so, you know, the first thing I did was got a tattoo which I'd never had before.
Where?
On my arm.
Give us a look.
There you go. Can you see that?
Yeah. Anthony Scully, can you come and take a photograph of Brian's tattoo for us?
He's done it already.
Oh, has he?
Yeah, it's on the website.
He's quick off the mark, that boy. But now, you've got a couple of CDs with you, and we'll try and squeeze in something from that before you go.
Yep.
The thing I find really exciting about the Peru trip is, as you've said, this has already enabled for some people to in Nepal to survive.
Oh, for sure.
This is an opportunity for some people in Peru.
Yeah.
But it's also a really fabulous lineup of artists who are going. Now, I'm really excited
because
it's people like, yourself, Fastball.
Yeah.
Now, these names may not mean a lot to a lot of ABC listeners, but you've got Fastball, you've got Mike Peters from The Alarm, who were around sort of late 80s.
Yeah.
Never big stars in Australia, but, you know, great musicians.
Yeah, fantastic.
What a hoot.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. It's just going to be really amazing, you know. And so it's an exciting thing to be a part of that, you know. And after this year, who knows, you know, the foundation's aim now after last year was every year do an event somewhere in the world to put a cancer unit where they don't have one.
Yeah.
So next year it could be somewhere in Africa or it could be somewhere in India, you know. But that's the plan. They plan to do events in Australia. Jim Barnes has become a supporter of the Love, Hope, Strength Foundation.
Mm.
And there is now an office for Love, Hope, Strength in Australia. Mm. Grant Walmsley, you know, a lot of musicians came out of the woodwork to help me with this. You know, I put on events. Everyone was Bob Spencer, from who was in Skyhooks and the Angels, came up from Melbourne to play. Mm. Warmo played, Tino played. I had a couple of guys who were from Melbourne as well that play with Brian Setzer in America, and a band called Necromantics. They came up from Melbourne, said, sure, we'll come and do what we can to help this work. And so they've all become... on the part of the Love, Hope, Strength musical army.
You're using your evil powers for good.
Absolutely. That's rock and roll to do some benefit.
Brian, thank you so much for coming in. When do you actually head off to Peru?
Well, I'm going to Japan first.
Oh, good God.
I'm going to only for 2 nights. Okay. Hopefully I've got some interviews there for the Retro Rockets releases next year.
Yeah.
Then I'm going out over to LA. I'll be meeting up with some of the team in LA.
Are you going to be back for the Music Awards?
I will. As I said to somebody this morning, I'll be in Peru. The Love, Hope, Strength concert's on the 15th in Machu Picchu. And on the 24th, 9 days later, I'm playing at Nelson Bay.
Yes.
The week after, I'm doing a workshop for primary school kids for the Newcastle Music Week.
Yeah.
And then we've got the Music Art Week Awards on the Friday
night.
We've
got to send Scully along to the workshop with the kids. That'll be great.
Fantastic, absolutely.
That'll be a great story.
Yeah, it's terrific. We get all the primary school kids and the Retro Rockets do a whole workshop with them on what is being in a band, and kids, little primary school kids bring their guitars and drums and play along with us.
Yeah.
And it's a big hoot. It's great fun.
Oh, what fun. All right. Lovely to have you in the studio. Thank you so much for coming in. And bring back lots of photos too.
For more information, go to abc.net.au/Newcastle.